wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. My subject concerns a most mysterious book, and my question is, if the Bible is true, then what? Leaving our babyhood, we found ourselves in a world of books and newspapers. The papers sold yesterday, but they're burned today, while the books scarcely survived a generation. But one mysterious book remained. It was the Holy Bible. Where did this book come from? What does it say? Neighbor, come, and you and I will investigate the facts about this strange book. We find it claims to be the Word of God, and though men wrote it, yet they wrote as the Spirit of the living God directed them. To impress its readers with this, it says thousands of times, "Thus saith the Lord." Hear the word of the Lord. Either this book is God's authorized revelation to man, or else it is the biggest sham and deception ever printed. We must then either prove it to be a lie or accept its claims. But if we believe it to be the very word of God, then to live contrary to that book would be to our eternal shame and sorrow. So then the question of whether that Holy Bible is the Word of God is not a debate for learned scholars, but it's a vital issue that affects the well-being of every man. We must then search deeper and see what is the answer. Who was the man who penned this book? It was not one man, but 30 of them. And that book is composed of 66 little books. Those 30 men lived as far apart as Rome and Babylon, 2,500 miles, and that meant 1 year's journey in those days. Moreover, they lived in different centuries. Yes, 1,600 years divided their writings. Some of them were just plain farmers and fishermen, while others were kings and statesmen. Some wrote from a palace, and some in a prison. Talk about variety. That book is like a patchwork quilt, and yet what a mystery. Every book fits right into its place, with its own revelation being an accompaniment of the other 65 books. A blessed harmony prevails. How can this ever be? A master mind must have controlled all the writers, and they wrote as he ordered them to write. This is the finger of God, we must admit. But let us proceed cautiously, for if we do allow that this is God's word, then we're just plain fools to live the way we do. Next, we discover that this book boldly and defiantly and definitely makes its prophecies about great world kingdoms, telling of the rise and falling of empires, and all has happened as it foretold from the Babylon to the Roman kingdom. It foretold of the coming of Christ. And he did come of Judah's tribe and born of a virgin. He even died as it foretold, despised and rejected of men, crucified. It prophesied that those wandering Jews would return to their land and become a nation. What? Why, that has happened in our lifetime. And yet Isaiah wrote about it 2,600 years ago. Say, that's marvelous. More than that, it's divine. And 1,900 years ago, both Peter and Paul wrote in their separate books of the way people would live in our days, these last days. Children would defy their parents, scoffers abound, morality be at an all-time low, people would love their pleasures and not God, and their religion would be a lot of forms while they boasted of their riches. That describes our very day better than we could put it into words. And that was all written 19 centuries ago? Truly, this is the foreknowledge of God himself. Other books need constant revision to keep in line with new discoveries, but not this book. When it says lights, plural, science said, no, there's only one light, the sun. But later, science discovered several lights, and it had to conform to the Bible. But that book never changes. It speaks with the finality of God as facts forever settled in heaven, and revelations to man that never need revision. Science spends fortunes to fight the Bible claims, but they never come up with one thing that can refute the Bible. They do develop their theories, like the evolution theory, but it still remains as only another of man's theories. For facts, we must go to the Bible. Now let us investigate the effect of this book. What kind of lives do people live who believe it and practice its precepts? We find a home where the family gathers around the Bible at their family altar. What a home! There we find love, righteousness, and the fear of God. But what of those who deride the Bible? Look at those hard and miserable faces at the infidel club. See that scoffing professor as he leads a double life. Hear the oaths and groans of the drunken. Yes, that Bible's a holy book. It turns people from the wretchedness of sin to the blessedness of loving the Lord and serving others. What could do this but God's very word itself? And this book claims its own eternal existence, defying any power to annihilate it. No book ever claimed such as this, and no book ever originated under such adverse conditions. One man wrote in a jail, another wrote several books while exiled on an island, and yet those writings were so miraculously guarded, we read those books today. No book was ever so ridiculed and attacked as the Bible. Infidels blasted at it, empires tried to stamp it out, and even what called itself the church tortured people to death if they were found reading the Bible. And yet that Bible lives on. 14 million martyrs sealed their faith in that book with their blood. And today more Bibles are sold than any other book the world around, for its claims are true. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Neighbor, I need search no more. I'm convinced that this holy Bible is the very word of God. What about you? Let me add this testimony. My father, who lived a life of godliness and righteousness, studied that one book for over 70 years, even teaching himself Hebrew and Greek to appreciate its original perfections. Oh, how he loved God's word. And for over a half a century, that book has been the one book to me that has molded my faith in my life. That book did unmercifully lash my pride, yet I love it. It floored my wisdom, yet I have yielded to its superior knowledge. Nothing made such demands on me, yet I am supremely happy as I surrender to its claims. Now, neighbor, don't turn away. Let's go further. This Bible reveals to us a heaven where they sing and rejoice. The Lord Jesus Christ is the theme of their praises as they find fullness of joy in his presence. He is the light and glory of heaven, and there's no sickness or death on those celestial shores where the Lord's people meet to part no more. That blessed home is available to each one of us. The Lord Jesus is himself the way, and he paid the fare by his precious atoning blood. But here's the snag that stumbles so many. It's a holy place, and sin cannot enter there. To go there, you must resign and forsake your sins and turn from them in real repentance. But, neighbor, others may be, but surely you will not be. The fool that chooses those short-lived thrills of sin instead of the pleasures forevermore in heaven. Resign then today your sins and choose Christ and God's heaven. That Bible also tells of an awful place. Book after book of it warns us of it. It is called hellfire. God made it for the devil and his wicked angels. But if men persist in that wickedness, God says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all that forget God. In the Old Testament, Isaiah, the prophet of salvation, calls hell flames of fire where their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. In the New Testament, our Savior Jesus Christ himself described hell as a tormenting fire where they beg for a drop of water as they wail, I'm tormented in this flame. A place where they have the bitter memory of God's offered salvation and of their own refusal to repent. But our generation takes hell as a byword and scoffs at the flames, saying that all the hell there is on earth. So the Bible declares that God will let men on earth taste the horrors of hell, for he will open that furnace of fire, and his smoke and fire shall arise over the earth, while hell's tormenting beings shall plague men till they gnaw their tongues, those tongues that mock God. Yes, gnaw their tongues in pain and wish for death, but they cannot die. And of the final end, all the wicked shall be cast into that lake of fire forever. Now, neighbor, if the Bible is true, and you know it is, are you not a fool, a big fool? If you turn your back on God in his heaven while you buddy along with the devil and the wicked and go down to hellfire? Let me tell you how you can escape hellfire and go to heaven. In the Bible, the man went to hell because he would not repent. And the Savior said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It is to turn from your evil ways or to burn in the flames of hell. Turn or burn for each one of us. Why not right now get on those two knees of yours and confess to God your sin and guilt and a wicked sinner deserving to go to hellfire, yet now turning from your evil ways to seek God's mercy? And to go to heaven, you need Jesus to save you. You're lost and can't save yourself. Don't try to. Just cast yourself on him. He died for our sins, and he lives to save us. He's waiting for your call. Lord Jesus, I'm lost. Please save me as I call upon thy name, Lord Jesus Christ. And since no rebels can ever enter heaven, all who go there must surrender their wills and lives to Jesus, their Lord, to obey him. Delay no longer. Lay down the sword of your rebellion and self-will at the feet of Jesus and surrender to him, looking up to that man on the throne of heaven who is Lord of all and has all power in heaven and earth, and confess, Lord Jesus, I surrender to thee to be my Lord and my Master. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then he will receive you as his own, and he will hand you that same holy Bible, God's Word, and say, obey my word and be led by my Spirit in all that you do. Neighbor, only then will you find, as I have found, the life of true happiness here and the eternity of joy hereafter, all for you in Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, and all revealed in that mysterious book, that divine book, the Holy Bible. May this be your experience today and forevermore. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God through his bondservant, David Brinkman.